CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New York Times headline in these last hours: Trump lawyers visit Justice Department as classified documents inquiry nears end. Three lawyers representing the former president, writes the New York Times, spent nearly 2 hours after requesting a meeting to discuss their concerns about the department's handling of the investigation. This is a special investigation, a special counsel, Mr. Smith, and I welcome Andrew McCarthy of the National Review Online to help me sort through what appears to be a deliberately Byzantine series of laws and recommendations and rules and guidelines and some things that are too fantastic to characterize about documents found at Mar-a-Lago, the former president's home in Florida. Andy, a very good evening to you. As I understand it now, the visit to the Justice Department was to forestall what appears to be talk of an impending indictment of the former president for, and therein I'm going to pause. I am not absolutely sure what the indictment will be for. There are several possibilities. You like obstruction of the grand jury. What does that mean, Andy? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Obstruction of the grand jury in this instance means whether former President Trump caused insufficient production of documents and false testimony to be given to the grand jury that was investigating his retention of classified documents at Mar-a-Lago. Recall that in 2022, President Trump was given a grand jury subpoena. This was after over a year of back and forth between Trump and the National Archives, between Trump and the Justice Department. Finally, in May of 2022, he was given a grand jury subpoena, which directed him to produce all documents in his possession that bore classification markings. That, John, actually is an important articulation because, you know, Trump has repeatedly said that he declassified documents. The subpoena that the Justice Department gave him was careful not to say produce any classified information, because then you would get into this whole morass of a legal issue about whether he had declassified the documents and whether they were still classified. So instead, what they demanded that he produce is any documents in his possession that physically bore classification markings, which means that whether he had actually declassified them or not, he would still have to turn them over to the grand jury. So that happened in May. And then in June, Trump and his lawyers invited a Justice Department official and three FBI agents to come to Mar-a-Lago to pick up what they represented was the remainder of the classified documents that were, or the documents with classification markings that were at Mar-a-Lago. And to make a long story short, they provided the FBI and DOJ with a carefully wrapped package containing 38 documents that bore classified information or classified markings, and a sworn statement that was for transmission to the grand jury that said that a thorough search had been done of Mar-a-Lago and that these were the only documents left that bore classification markings. That statement, I think, is the key or the core of the case that's being built by the special counsel, because we now know that was false. When they 2 months later, they ended up searching Mar-a-Lago and found over 100 more classified documents in addition to other things. So I think that's the transaction that Smith is focused on. There are attendant crimes that he could bring that involve the mishandling, whether it's by retention or dissemination of classified documents. He has a political problem bringing those cases because, or those charges, because Vice President Mike Pence had a similar issue. They've announced they're not going to charge him. That, I think, is a prelude to not charging President Biden, who has been shown to be a serial violator of the rules against mishandling classified information. And of course, Hillary Clinton was not prosecuted despite her retention of class and destruction of classified documents. So there's a political problem with those crimes, but not with the obstruction.
In other words, the obstruction case is straight up grand jury abuse, and there is evidence that can be demonstrated in court that Trump did not comply with the order of the Justice Department. It's a process crime.
That's correct. This was in the process of investigating his retention of the documents. So you're quite right. That was the investigation of that. And this is a crime that arises out of the investigation.
Because your former colleague, Andrew Weissman, at the Department of Justice, I don't think you were simultaneous, but you're both veterans of the DOJ, writes for the Washington Post of the other two possibilities. I wanted to explore them only because there's been reporting to suggest that the president was aware of documents in his possession that were not declassified, that were highly sensitive, and that he did not, with care, keep them from others hearing of what are in the documents. So that is the Espionage Act. My memory is 1917, never invoked, or whenever it's been invoked, it's invoked in secret, and then we move on. However, it makes a distinction between retention of documents and dissemination of documents. That might be an important distinction, but I want to come to that one example that the New York Times, Maggie Haberman and her colleague, identify in May. It's a document dating, this conversation took place in 2021, and it's on recording made by assistants to the former president at Mar-a-Lago. It talks about a document, perhaps four pages, generated, it says, the president says, by General Milley. It might have been generated by his predecessor, but General Milley inherited it, about an attack on Iran. That's what we're told, with soldiers, with deployment. And Mr. Trump talks about it on the recording, talks about how it's classified or that it's information that is rare because he wanted to, at some point, make the case that he did not vouchsafe Mr. General Milley's intention to attack Iran. I guess he was putting himself forward as the hero of the scene. Andy, that strikes me as a very important detail because there's an audio recording. Does that wander into the Espionage Act in a concrete way so that it wouldn't be about classification? It would be about sharing a highly secretive document with people who do not have classification.
Yeah, it does, John. It does a number of things that would be very beneficial to a prosecutor if he were going to bring Espionage Act charges. For example, it demonstrates that President Trump knew that he had classified information in his possession intentionally, so that it was not something that was done by accident or mistake. And it also cuts against his claim that he's made publicly any number of times, although his lawyers will not repeat it in court. And there's no other evidence of it, but his claim that he declassified the hundreds of classified documents that were in his presence. The fact that he would say that he needed to be circumspect in discussing the information that he attributed to General Milley indicates that he knew that the information was national defense information and that he had to be careful discussing it with people who didn't have security clearances.
Because we do not know which way the special prosecutor is going, we have to entertain all possibilities, and one of them is conspiracy. Conspiracy would be too fantastic for me to summarize other than to say that the former president enlisted or welcomed others in his circle to, in some fashion, deny the Justice Department or the FBI search, and that afterwards to deny or frustrate the investigation by Mr. Smith. Is that a credible possibility that others were involved and some of them may provide evidence in court?
Yeah, I think, John, in the abstract, a conspiracy charge is possible. But what we know about the Justice Department's investigation to date indicates that they are operating, the special counsel seems to be operating on the theory that President Trump manipulated other people, not that he conspired with them. And the reason I say this is it looks like one of the key witnesses in the case will be Trump's former lawyer, Evan Corcoran, who is the one who provided the Justice Department and the FBI with this statement that said that they he wrote the statement. Another lawyer signed it. The statement that said the 38 documents I referred to before were the only ones that were on the premises. He has been forced to testify by Smith and to provide not only testimony, but extensive notes of his conversations with President Trump. The fact that he has testified rather than taking the Fifth Amendment indicates that the government doesn't think he is criminally liable. So their theory is that Trump duped him into giving misinformation to the FBI and the grand jury. So it doesn't look like a conspiracy has to be a meeting of the minds between two people who agree together to commit a crime. This looks like what the government is saying is that Trump, this was a scheme by Trump, and he used other people to accomplish it.
I'm speaking with Andrew McCarthy, a veteran of the DOJ and my colleague of many years, interpreting the Justice Department and its investigators, the FBI. We've now reached the precipice, and we're staring over the cliff to an indictment of a former president for a very, very heavy-duty felony. Recently, a member of the military went to jail for 3 years for less than some of this. So when we come back, what will it look like? What does it mean for the former president if he's to be indicted? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Nash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.